Well, I said that I had this message, Storms Happen, prepared for a month ago. And that kind of looks like my dog. She loves to be out in the rain. She doesn't use an umbrella, though. But she does love to be out in the rain. A little boy this morning, I think one little boy mentioned this morning that, why is he crying? He's out in the rain. It's having fun. Huh. It's fun to be out in the rain, but sometimes we're not happy in the storms. Now, I got to ask the question. Be prepared now. I want a truthful answer. If you haven't had any type of storm in your life in the last month, stand up. Come on. Please? Whoa. Storms happen. And if you look at Matthew 5:45, it is amazing what God's word says to us. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It doesn't matter whether you're evil or good, righteous or unrighteous, storms happen. And so what we want to focus on this morning, you know, is how do we react when the storms happen? You know, you can be employed, unemployed, healthy, sick, old, young, white, black, red, yellow. I remember that song, Red and Yellow, Black and White. You can be spiritual. You can be secular. You can be male or female. It's going to happen in your life sometime. And so, how do you deal with storms? And what causes the storms? You know, God lets the sun shine on both. He lets the rain come on both. So I want to look at, first off, a little bit, kind of some things that cause the storms. And then, how do we react? How should we react? How do we get through and survive the storm? Now, I was doing some research. I like to research. And I started researching because I wanted to find out, what causes storms? And, you know, one of the causes I found was ourselves. Wait a minute. You think I'm going to cause something to go wrong in my life? Well, think about it. I get on the wall, don't I? If I didn't get on the wall, I probably wouldn't fall off. It's getting bad when the first thing anybody tells me anymore is, you've been on any ladders? You know? Think about it. Let's look in the scripture. Jonah. Did he cause his own storm? How? Disobedience. Have you ever disobeyed your mother and dad? Huh? Have you ever disobeyed your mother and dad? Never? Never ever? Whoa. Have you ever disobeyed your mother or dad? Really? Yeah? 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 Did anything happen because of it? Uh-huh. Right? Well, that's, you know, God is our Father. And so sometimes we cause our own storm by disobedience. Jonah was told by God, directed by God, to do this. He says, I'm not going to do that. So guess what? He got 3 nights in the accommodation of Well Belly. Huh? You know... Dave's back there cracking up. You think about it. Jonah disobeyed. He paid a price, didn't he? And see, that's where we can see a physical storm. Peter, we heard last week. Yeah, anybody See, everybody, when you say about walking on water, they said only Jesus can walk on water. See, that's not biblical because Peter walked on water. Okay? Peter walked on water. At the moment that he stepped out, his eyes were perfectly trained and his heart was perfectly in line with God. And he stepped out of the boat onto the water and he was okay. What happened? He took his eyes off God. His heart feared, and he sunk, and he cried out. Did he create his own problem? Sure. See, God was leading, Christ was giving him an opportunity that most of us only get when the ice is thick. Okay? Peter actually did walk on water. And God gave him that opportunity, blessed him, because of his obedience, and then he took his eyes off God and fell. So sometimes storms are our problem. Sometimes storms come just as a matter of life. Life happens, doesn't it? Right? Do we ever do things in our life that just sometimes don't make sense? Well, you know, storms happen. And sometimes they don't make sense. But God wants us to understand that storms are there for a purpose. And that purpose is to help us. Okay? The storms that come from our disobedience are still there to help us. Help us to understand that we need to be obedient to God. But the storms that come because it's just life. You know? Do we choose to get sick? Do we choose to break our ribs? Huh? Do we choose to have headaches? It happens, doesn't it? It happens. I was talking to a guy this week and up at the hospital, and I said to him, I said, I always thought, I mean, this guy runs 10 miles a day. Okay? He runs 10 miles every day. He rides his bike as much as he can. And he loves to hunt. And he goes on these exhibition hunts, you know? So he'll go up into the Rocky Mountains and he'll spend a week in the mountains hiking and looking for animals. Healthy guy. Well, I was at the pirate game with a group of people on Thursday. And one guy says, oh, do you know Barry's in the hospital this morning having open heart surgery? The guy's a couple years younger than me, but he's always been a person of health. And I said, wow. So I started talking to him. And I said, well, how long have you had problems? He said, I really haven't had any issues and problems. And I said, well, what happened? He says, well, he said, I was in New York airport, and I was getting ready to go on a safari to Africa. And he said, I got this overwhelming pain in my chest. And he said, I told the guy I was with, my guide, he said, I need to sit down for a little bit. And he said, I sat down for a minute or two, and he said, I felt great. I said, yeah, but you missed your hunt. He said, no. He said, I got on a plane and I went to Africa. And I hunted in Africa for 2 days or 2 weeks. And I said, you didn't have any problem? He said, no. He said, I got home. And I told my wife about the issue. And she said, you better see your doctor. I went to my doctor. And he said, today I'm having it. That was Monday. I went to my doctor. Today I'm having a triple bypass, you know. Well, he had it the day before. He said, yesterday I had a triple bypass. I say, obviously God was looking out for you. And I say that because I want you to understand, you see, sometimes storms are there and God's protecting us until we're really ready. I mean, could you imagine having some sort of heart issue in the heart of the African bush? You know? But here God protected him. Even though God knew there was a storm ahead. God is there ready, and he wants us to be, you know, knowing that. I read in Scripture, and I started, and I quit. No, I didn't quit reading Scripture. I quit on what I was researching. Dave gave me this weird look like you quit reading Scripture. Yeah. Do you know there are over 200 accounts in the New Testament of storms that Paul faced? See, when you get up so far after you find so many, you just quit. Okay? Because Paul faced over 200. I started counting. Oh, some of them may have been the same. I don't know. But I just started counting references in the Scripture, in the New Testament, where Paul, you know, referenced something he was going through, or he had gone through, or he was about to go through. And you look, and Paul, of course, was in some storms on some ships. Most of the time, you know, God, you know, wanted his focus on him, you know, giving Paul things. But Paul had storms, and he had many. And I thought about that as I started looking. I said, you know what? We're only really seeing a relatively short time period of Paul's life in the Scripture. And yet I was counting all these storms of life. So I want you to understand, storms can happen. They can be health problems. They can be stress. They can be relational problems. They can be job problems. They can be financial problems. They can come in many, many ways. But we all enjoy some blessing of God. And even though we have to endure the storms of life, and even though we all have our ups and downs, we can survive the storm. The first key to survival is be prepared. The old Boy Scout motto, be prepared. How do we prepare for the storm? Anybody know? Oh, yeah, I see somebody holding up a Bible. Well, that's a good way to prepare for the storm, isn't it? Read the Word of God. Be constantly in the Word of God. Be doing the things that you need to do. Have you ever watched animals? Animals do certain things in their lives when they prepare for storms. They seem to know when storms are coming. You know, what do squirrels do? They gather nuts. For what? Take them through the wintertime when they don't have as much. You know, it's all part of life. But when you look, we need to prepare for storms at times. And being prepared is how God leads us. You know, you look at life. Anybody know there's a young man was named Joseph? Have you ever read about Joseph in the Bible? Huh? Anybody know what happened to Joseph? He got sold by some people who didn't like him. Who were they? His brothers. So here's Joseph. And you know, this is a kid. You know, he wasn't an adult yet. He wasn't out there, you know, but his brothers found an opportunity and they sold him. And they sold him to people right next door, right? You know, so Joseph was removed from his home, from the land that he had grown up in, and had been taken somewhere else. And look at Joseph's life. But I want you to see how he prepared at one time for something that God showed him was absolutely going to happen. God gave him different gifts, and he got put in control of some things. And you see what he did the one time? For 7 years, he took a certain percentage of everything that was grown and all the cattle and everything else, and he had it put aside. I think people probably thought he was nuts. You know, what are you doing? You're filling up the grain barns. We don't need it. But look, we're growing this stuff. We don't have any more room. And he says, yeah, but I want you to understand, God's shown me. There's a storm coming. And for 7 years, they had plenty when others suffered. It was all because of Joseph's preparation. Now, if he hadn't been in tune with God, do you think he'd have prepared for that? See, he was in tune with God. He spent time with God. He did the things that he needed to do. You know? We need to be developing our relationship with God when we're not in the midst of the storm. So that when the storm comes, I'm not saying if it comes, I'm saying when it comes, we are ready to start into that storm. Because, see, it is going to come. In Matthew, we find the scripture about the rock, building the house on a solid rock. That was a preparation, wasn't it? Huh? If you build a house on the rock, when the storms come, what happens? It survives. And so that's part of that preparation. We need to be preparing every day in our life. We need to be preparing for the storm that lies out ahead. So once we're prepared, then the storm comes. And we get to our second point to survive. You, each one of you, get to choose your response to the storm. That's great. So you get to choose whether you can be angry, or whether you panic, or whether you get bitter, or whether you lose control, whether you go away from God. You get to choose. And so, I want you to understand, there's really two responses. The storms of life will make you bitter or better. Say that 100 times. I'm going to be bitter or better. You know? And when we look at it, we have opportunities to go through the storms and become out better. Now, does that mean if we get sick that we're going to come out without any problems from the illness? He said yes. His mom said nope. But we can come out better, can't we? We can come out better. Do you ever read Philippians? Yeah, that's a book in the Bible, in case some of you don't know. When did Paul write that letter to Philippians? Huh? In prison. And anybody know what we find in Philippians chapter 4? Huh? Nope. Philippians 4:4, what's it say? Come on, I know some of you have this memorized. Huh? What?
Rejoice.
Always before the Lord, I say it again, rejoice. Wait, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. And you do this, what will you experience? Peace. See, when we choose our response, we make a choice of what we're doing. Now, let's just kind of look at this whole thing. If I choose to get angry, what's that do? Makes me miserable. Huh? Makes me miserable. Remember Job sitting there? What did his friends tell him to do? Curse God and die. You know, they said, look how miserable you are. Just curse God and die. Why? Because that's a choice people make, huh? We want to choose to say, God, I don't understand this. Why are you doing this to me, God? God, I don't want to do this. God, you don't love me. We can get bitter. We can curse God. And we take and we look at the circumstances and we look at what's happening and we say, God, it's all your fault. Why are you doing this to me, God? And that's a typical response. And that's a response that Christians often make. Well, then we can nurse our storm. Woe is me. Would you have pity with me? Hey, would you guys all pity me because I'm going through a storm? Please, 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 please have pity. Huh? And then you can rehearse your storm. You can feel sorry for yourself in that self-pity, can't you? Yeah, we typically make our own pain there. Oh, if I'm going through this bad storm, and I tell everybody, they'll all take and be nice to me. No? Well, if I tell you my troubles, will you be really, really nice to me? Oh, okay. Good answer. You know, don't we sometimes get dwelling on that? And so, do we sometimes make the storm out to be worse than it actually is? Huh? We'd never do that. Huh? But the thing that we really have to focus on, this is the response we need to focus on, is reverse the storm. You know, there's a men's group called Reverse the Curse. Well, we're going to reverse the storm. Paul took every less than desirable situation and he reversed it. He said, I will be full of joy no matter what I'm going through. And I will reverse that storm. I will make the storm not be so bad. Oh, I didn't say he was getting rid of the storm, did I? He's reversing the outcome of the storm. We all have times of trouble. I like this one. Some of us had troubled minds. I classify. My mind causes me a lot of trouble. Some of us have troubled minds. Some of us do have a lot of financial burdens. Some of us have relationship issues. Some of us have all these things that just take and health issues. And we have them. But see, what we have to do is not let that dictate our life, but let's look at the response that we make. And so the first thing we got to do in response of making a proper response is we got to lean on others. Now, what's that mean? What's it mean to lean on others? I got to tell somebody else and let them pray for me, and I really don't want people to know what I'm going through, and I don't want them to think that I'm bad. I don't want them. Oh. Our pride gets in the way of us leaning on others, doesn't it? Huh? Well, it can mean trying to get help. Yeah, I told you a story once how a guy handed me when I was unemployed and I almost didn't go to church that morning because we didn't have enough money for gas, and a guy handed me $20 in the restroom that morning, and this guy was not working also. And I looked at him and I said, I'm not going to take that. Although I knew that my wife and I had discussed is we didn't really have money enough for gas to go to church yet, but we didn't have money to buy milk and bread for the next day. Okay, that's how desperate we had got. Okay, that's how bad it had gone. I was unemployed for 2.5 years. All right? You know, 2.5 years with a 3- and a 5-year-old? You know how much milk they drink? Huh? Fortunately, they were both girls. Because, see, I find out, Austin can drink a gallon of milk in one sitting. Okay? You know, but I, as soon as he handed it to me, I handed it back to him. And you know why? Because I wasn't going to lean on him because I'm not taking that off of him. I'm not. And he looked at me and he said, brother, and he was like 6'3", arms like this. You know, he was a mechanic. He worked in a physical job all his life. And he said, brother, God told me to give this to you this morning, and if you take my blessing away, he said, we will no longer be friends. And I looked at him, I said, okay. Okay. But see, we need to be able to lean on others. There need to be a network of people that we rely upon to pray for us, to help us to get through the storm. My wife's one of those people, you know, you guys all know I'm not the compassionate side of the family. Fortunately, God knew that I was unbalanced. And he balanced our family by giving me Judy, and she's the compassionate side, and she will listen to somebody for hours. Listen to their problems. After about 30 seconds, I would have said, all right, time to move on. You know, but we need people like that. We need people like that. We need people in our lives that we can go to and say, I'm really struggling. And people that we know and love enough that we're willing to share those struggles. Because see, does God intend for us to go through these storms on our own? No. No. You heard last week that Jeannie said all the elders are going through some struggles. And Dave and I talk quite a bit. And many of you may not know it, but Dave's work situation is really, really iffy. He now gets to work, you know, 100 hours a week because everybody's quitting, you know. But I said to him earlier in the week, I said, how's things going? You know, we had network problems last week, so Dave asked if we could try to help get it, you know. So I was in contact with Armstrong and stuff like that. And I contacted Dave and said, well, here's what we found. And I said, how's it going? He said, well, other than the fact that now my car's leaking oil and my tires are going flat, and my wife's car had to go into the garage for transmission problems. Oh, and by the way, I got a son that's going into college this year. He didn't tell me that, but I'm kind of, you know. And so, see, we've all been under attack. We all get under attack. When I asked anybody who hadn't had any attack on you in the last month, nobody stood up. We all get under attack. We need people to lean on. We need others to share our burdens at times. Now, that doesn't mean that we just take and make a, remember what I said? We can make a bigger deal out of something than it really is. That's not what we want to do. But when we really have a serious issue going on, we need to share that. Because what's the scripture say? If your brother's happy, be happy with them. Oh, so if rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Am I supposed to support you when you're having a rough time? Are you supposed to support me when I'm having a rough time? What? Now, here's what we should do. You know, that elder Dave back there, he's having some really, really rough times. There must be something wrong in his life. Dave, you need to look at your life, Dave. Is that what God calls us to do? Huh? See, I told you, some storms we cause from disobedience, but that's not the only reason storms happen. Storms happen because they happen. God said, the rain's going to come on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun's going to shine on the good and on the evil. Okay? Life is going to happen. And so what we have to look at is when we're dealing with this is we have to have others that we trust in that we can learn to really take. And sometimes we have to accept help even though our pride gets in the way. You know, that was one of the things I really had to wrestle with, you know, and that lesson I told you about the man in church, that was one of the first things of starting to me to understand is there are times when I need help. There are times that I can't do it, even though I think I can. Even though I think I can do it on my own, I can be Mr. Super Paul. Paul didn't do it on his own, did he? He relied on those around him to pray for him, to lift him up, and to share, and to be happy when he was happy and mourn when he mourned. So we need to lean on one another. Then we need to lean on God. Well, that should be first, but you know, that's a given. But we need to trust God. God is our refuge, our strength in times of trouble. Our refuge and our strength. We need to trust Him. We need to not fear. It says, so we will not fear even if earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Whatever storms are coming our way, we need to trust in God. Last year, and I built my garage. I built my retaining wall. Spent a couple days in Allegheny General Trauma Unit because of it. You guys know that. But, you know, I got it done. And guess what? Have you watched any of the television coverage of some of these storms that people have been seeing this year? Huh? The floods, the stuff like that? Well, I'm on a hill. Ouch. I'm on a hill. And I don't get flooded, typically. You know? I always said, if my house is going to get flooded, there's a whole lot of people in trouble. Because I'm up on the hill. To get to my house, you got to go like this. Up the road. Up the drive. You know, you don't get to my house anyway but up. And last week when we had the last of all that heavy rain and I walked outside and I was doing something and I looked and I saw my big, nice, new retaining wall into my garage, I was heartbroken. You know? And I looked at that and I said, why? Well, I know why. Because it rained. That's why. And it was all loose ground behind it, and the rain washed it out. I'm just like everybody else. You know, I look at it and say, why? And then my first thought was, well, I better get working on this and fixing it. And my second thought was, you better be wise and not get hurt. Hire somebody. You know, could I probably do it myself? Over time, yeah. Would I probably end up in the hospital again? Yeah. So I got to ask for help. I got to have somebody come in and help me face that storm, face that damage that was done. But I got to trust in God regardless. Is the fact is, guess what? The guy that looked at that wall and said, he said, man, he said, you must did a good job on that garage. He says, because that's holding a lot of weight and it didn't even crack it or anything. My garage wall is still holding. I moved all my cars out of it because I trust God, but I'm not going to have my cars damaged just in case the wall gives way because I don't trust Satan. You know? But what does Satan try to do? He tries to cause some sort of problem to get your eyes off of what God's trying to do. And so when Jeannie said last week, all the elders are under attack, and I wanted to say I didn't, but it's not just the elders. Okay? It's not just the elders here that are under attack. We are all under attack. You know why? Because we're worshiping God and praising God and we're living for God. And if you're living for God, Satan's going to attack you. The storm will happen. I don't care who you are. Okay? It doesn't matter who you are. Storms will happen in your life. And so we have to choose how we respond, and one of those choices is to trust in God and say, God, you're my refuge, you're my strength, and I don't understand it, and I don't know why this is happening, and God, I really don't have the money to deal with this right now, but I trust you do. Oh, wait, he said he holds the wealth of the world in his hands. See, we worry about all those little things so much, and God says, wait, I got it all under control. I have it all under control. You know, I have it. It's there. It's gone. So the last step you need to know is, as you go through it, As you grow, as you go through it. Repeat that. As you go through it. Say it again. As you go through it, grow through it. As you go through it, grow through it. Because guess what? We are going to have storms in our life. And so if we choose to say, God, I want to grow. I want to be better tomorrow because of the storm today. God, I want to be closer to you because of that storm. I want to learn something, God. So if our first response and our last response is, God, teach me what you want me to know so that I might grow through this. Because guess what? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Okay? You're going to go through the storms. They're going to come. They're going to happen. They're going to be there. And you're going to get to a point and you're going to say, man, I just don't understand because it's one right after another, after another, after another. God, when is it going to end? And God says, don't worry about it. Just keep growing. Just keep growing. When trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy and grow through it. Because no matter what caused the storm, no matter why the storm is there, God wants to teach us to be more like Him through it. Okay, that's His goal. That's the only reason He allows the storms to come in our lives. You understand that? He allows the storms to come into our lives so that we might grow through it. Why? Hey, maybe someday I have to help somebody else that's going through the same storm that I went through. And guess what? I can tell them, you know what? That happened to me. Yeah, when I was unemployed for 2.5 years, do you know what? I know what it is to totally rely on God to have milk and bread in the house. It happened to me. I know how I had to trust in God for every single thing. But I know that through that whole thing, God gave me appreciation for the fact that He was in control and He loved me. And even though it looked the bleakest, and you know what? At the end of that storm, God gave me the best job I ever had. At a Christian company. And you know what? He blessed me. He blessed me through that storm. Now, if I'd have got bitter and I'd have got angry and I'd have got all that, and my wife and I never got bitter and angry and stuff like that. We said, God, we know you're in control. We don't understand, but we know you're in control. And in the midst of that storm, we relied on God. We trusted in God. And we both learned from it. And people say, well, how did you retire 2 years early? Because my wife managed our money and we had no debt when I retired. That's not easy. But see, we learned in that 2.5 years, it wasn't all about what you had. It wasn't all about keeping up with the neighbors and having the best and having, you know, the fancy. And many times at Penn United, people, different guys that I worked with now would say, why do you drive that old vehicle? Because it still runs. You know? Why do you live in a home that your grandfather built in 1945? My wife asked me that all the time. It seems like we never get done doing something to it. There's always something to do. You know, when you get on those old, you know, I thought when I rewired it and I replumbed it and everything else, you know, and she keeps saying, you know, I don't want to put any more money into this house because one day the foundation's going to come down. And you know, how many of you remember the old cinder block? Huh? You remember how well they last? My basement is built in cinder block. And my wife keeps saying, you know, I patch it with concrete patch and I keep patching these holes and stuff like that. And she said, and the patches fall out and they're bigger. One day, yes, the foundation probably going to crumble to a point that we're going to have to do something with the foundation. And when that happens, my wife might get another house. Especially if it falls in like the wall did. But you know what? It's not all about that. My roof doesn't leak, so I don't get wet. Satan, don't let it leak next week, please. But you know what? If it leaks, guess what? You fix it. You know? I can't worry about all those things anymore because I got to focus on one thing, and that's growing through the midst of the storm. Believe me, your faith will be tested. At times you'll need wisdom beyond what you can understand. At times you'll need strength beyond what you can muster up. God says, I'm in control.